good morning, everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of Mornings with the Outlaw here on the Outlaw Nation channel. I'm your host, the Outlaw John Rocha, tag team champion of the world, as you can see up there from the Schmodown. And speaking of the Schmodown, what a fantastic interview I had last night with Scott the Movie Mance. That's right. Scott Mance was on the show last night on the Outlaw Nation show. We talked about so many things over about 2 hours and 15 minutes, answered a lot of your questions for those of you who are in the chat, sending your super chats in, sending your Streamlabs in, and coming in live. Hope you all enjoyed the show. I know I did. Scott was so incredible. We had a little bit of technical issues at the beginning because he didn't know you had to do it on Google Chrome. So I had to guide him through downloading Google Chrome onto his computer. And then eventually he's able to come on to the show. And we had a great time talking about the Beatles, talking about Star Trek and the violence in Star Trek that's kind of not his thing right now in the current version of Star Trek. We also talked about the 2020 Oscars rules and all that got handed down, which we'll be talking on about on this episode as well. But we also talked about a possible return to the Schmodown for Scott Mance. And I'll play that clip a little bit later on in the show. But there is now possibly the idea that this guy might have a little bit of a rivalry with me brewing, that he may want to settle it once and for all, maybe the rubber match here for the Mance-Rocha rivalry or the Outlaw versus the Sheriff rivalry that we set up years ago. So hopefully, maybe someday down the road, Scott and I will revisit that. But either way, it's a fantastic interview. I hope you all take the time to go and watch it or listen to it because it's available now. I put it up this morning on the Outlaw Nation podcast network. So maybe some of y'all want to listen to it while you're out there doing whatever you're doing today in the self-isolation, self-quarantining, schedule you've got going on for yourself today. So go and enjoy that Outlaw Nation show last night. Me and Scott Mance having a blast. Where is he? Is he up here? He's not up. Oh, yeah, there he is. Boom. That's right. Me and Scott Mance having a grand old time on the Outlaw Nation show. But this is Mornings with the Outlaw, as you can tell. The voice is still coming in this morning. This is how it works. I've been up for about an hour and a half prepping the show, getting everything squared away. Excited to talk about this Universal Studios Pictures versus AMC versus the National Association of Theater Owners drama. A lot of drama happening here about these this idea of the window for films being screened in theaters and then when they go to streaming. Universal kind of shooting that first shot across the bow with this Trolls World Tour situation, wanting to reduce the time between a film being released in the theater and a film being available digitally for people to own or download. We're going to talk that Oscars drama, but of course, unfortunately, we're also going to touch on the passing this morning of Irfan Khan, one of the great Indian actors, who you saw him in Slumdog Millionaire and The Life of Pi. And of course, many people who understand and know Bollywood films have seen him in numerous films from India and so on. And so we'll be touching on that in just a little bit. But first, let's say hi to everybody who is joining me here on the Outlaw Nation on Mornings with the Outlaw. Andrew G, what's up, my man? He said, awesome episode last night with Mance. I wish I could have thought of a better question. Ha ha. Well, you had an hour, Andrew G. You had an hour waiting around. So yeah, but it was a good question. Don't sweat it. Haskell, what's up, my man? Good to see you. MK Songbird, hello. Level 2 Trading came in last night as well. Asked a good question of Mance and me. Queen George Jim, how are you? Big Chuck, what's up? Big Chuck 420, whoop, whoop. How are you, my man? You seem like you're doing good, my brother. Matt Marceau, good morning. Marie Zambano, good to see you again. Rick Samoris, good to see you. Luis Macias, hello. Jesse Lowe, let's do this. Absolutely. Vanya Kostiak, good to see you. Ronnie Padilla, good morning. Fran Smith, good morning from rainy Northwest Florida. I hope everyone has a good and productive day. How very nice of you, Fran. Thank you. Sean Barreto, what's up, my brother? How are you? Robert Young, it's nearly 5 o'clock in England. It's more cooking dinner with the Outlaw. Fair enough. Take me along with you, man. Whatever time of day it is for you. Hugo Chavez, Buenos Dias Outlaw, epic interviews with the Mance, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Shane St. Laurent is in here. Cameron Hainsworth. Corey Cameron as well. Let's see. Andy Burnett, good to see you, my man. Happy time zone. Zeno Hour, good morning. Thank you. Monkey of all DJs, good to see you. I haven't seen you for a bit, Monkey. Thank you. Morning from Winnipeg. That was great with the Mance, man, he says. Oh, Jake Yakovetta in here. Yep, Jake, let you know. Super chats. Yeah, the super chats are open. The stream labs are open. And Jake's saying super chats are definitely appreciated. Just remember that YouTube takes 33% of them and Streamlabs doesn't. So, you know, if you're going to send a question in or you're going to send some support in to the Outlaw Nation, would love it through the Streamlabs rather than the super chat. Thank you so much. Sterling Jones is in here. And what does he say? I say, I'm doing nothing today. I saw that interview with Mance. It was awesome. That's awesome. Kingsport Calvin. What's up, Calvin? Good to see you. Last night was a blast. Yeah, Calvin, here's a quick recommendation. Ask the question, then let Scott answer. You were going on and on. Scott was trying to answer you, but I understand you were pretty excited to talk to Scott. So no worries. Just in the future, remember, ask the question. You know, give the compliments at the beginning, then ask the question, because then the guest can answer it for you, and then you can have like a rebuttal or whatever. But it was great to see you, brother. Always good to see you in here. Nathan Etienne, how are you? Good to see you. Hello. Pardis Jerusalem. Trolls World Tour wasn't for buy. I don't know what that means. It was for rent only. Yes, it was for rent only. Yes, exactly. Jenna James is in here. Let's see. Who else? I already said hi to Ryan Chandler, I think. Sterling Jones said all that to them. All right. Hannah Les 2828. Hello. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Mr. Eng, good morning. Morning to you. And Ben Wellington. Hey, brother. Great Mance interview. Just joined the Outlaw Nation. At the Logan level. Oh, thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Yeah, the Patreon is up there. See the address. Oh, this side. I see the address there. www.patreon.com/John Rocha. Come and get involved with the Outlaw Nation later on today at 4 p.m. PT for everyone who's donated at the $5 and up level. I will be on the Discord, the Outlaw Nation Discord, for an hour just talking about whatever you want to talk about. The Mance interview, life, self-isolation, anything, a Schmodown, anything, movies, anything you want to talk about. We'll talk about for an hour. And then tomorrow will be the on-camera one, which we haven't set a time for yet, but that'll be through the Blue Jeans Network. And those are for the $7 patrons and up. You'll be able to come on live on camera and have a conversation with all of us about whatever's on your mind. So little things like that. We're going to be doing composing shows for that. Sean Barreto and I had a really great conversation over the weekend about some shows I can do here. Also, I've been kicking around some ideas in my own head about some patron-only shows. Yeah, come aboard the Outlaw Nation Patreon. Trust me, there's more and more stuff coming for you all to enjoy and have a great time with. So, and I've reached out to Criterion to kind of establish a relationship with them as I do this Criterion Corner, which will most likely start next week in there. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. All right, good to go. Good to go, everybody. Thank you. George Santoya is in here as well. Good to see you. Soshar 1999. What is up, my man? Good to see you in here. Yeah. All right. And going to Hobbit, Outlaw, fastest man in the West. I do try. All right. That's it. That's everybody. Let's jump into the first story here as we talk about things that are going on in the world of entertainment. And the first story is nothing but drama. All right. The Trolls World Tour. It came out, of course, for PVOD, it caused quite a sensation here, according to the Wall Street Journal. It was dropped into homes at a 48-hour rental price for $19.99 during the COVID shutdown that was happening, and it has been estimated at accruing a $95 million in rental fees. I think it's been moved up to $100 million in 3 weeks. So pretty incredible stuff. And of course, it's still doing well for merchandise and all of that for the Trolls World Tour. With VOD terms in the studio's favor at an estimated 80%, Universal is banking an estimated $77 million in revenue. Pretty incredible there before marketing expenses. And those are better terms for Universal than this 50-50 or 60-65% /40% split that they reap with the movie theaters. And so a lot of people are asking, oh, this is great for them. But then the questions come arise. Well, arise now. Well, what will it mean once they make this available for purchase will people be purchasing it to own if they already watched it for $20? It's an interesting conversation, but you could have the same conversation, in my opinion. You can have the same conversation if you want to talk about theatrical release, right? I went to a movie theater and I paid $20 to see this movie, but I still bought it for home to watch whenever I want to watch. So what's the difference between buying something digitally for 2 days? You can only watch it for 2 days and then you can't watch it again. And then waiting for the physical copy or the digital release to be purchased, digital release. So you can purchase it. What's the difference? I don't think there is a difference, in my opinion. It feels like the same thing. If you want to own a movie, you're going to own a movie. And if you only have 2 days to watch a movie, you're going to watch that movie. But the feeling that it's going to leave you with is a good one or a bad one. And if it's a good one, then you'll be more inclined to buy the movie. So I think there's no difference between watching a movie at home and watching a movie in the theater in terms of your desire to purchase the movie. It all depends on if the movie has a strong effect on you. And if it does, logically, you're going to want to buy it. You're going to want to own it. You know, I saw movies from 1965 here at the house or in the 1950s or whatever. And I still went out and bought like the extensive collector's edition of those movies. Ben-Hur, Lawrence of Arabia, Singing in the Rain. And there's so many of those. And I discovered them where? At my house, you know? So I always find this to be an interesting conversation. You know, I feel like people have their own self-interests involved here. Certainly the theaters don't want to go out of business, and I totally don't want theaters to go out of business. But also, I think people after during this COVID-19 situation, during this coronavirus situation, I think they've developed a taste for wanting to watch movies at the house at their convenience. And hey, why not? Look, $20, I get to watch it with four of my family, or my roommates or whatever, and we don't have to leave the house. We can pause it when we want, use the restroom. We can make our own refreshments that don't cost, you know, $10 for a bucket of popcorn, $6 for a soda, $5 for candy, $6.50 for a sausage bagel or whatever it is, whatever they have there at the ArcLight, you know. And again, it's a business. They have to stay in business. I get it. I totally get it for movie theaters. But it's supply and demand, isn't it? If you as a consumer are demanding to stay at home so that you can watch these movies on your own time and enjoy them and be able to talk about them with other people, then there's got to be a supply for that, right? So this has been happening over the last few years, really powerfully from the studios and especially from the streaming sites, this idea of destroying the window between the release of a movie in the theater and the release of the movie digitally for people to watch, you know? And so it doesn't mean you can own it. It just means you can watch it, right? Like PVOD is what they're talking about. And that's what Trolls World Tour did. Now, you can say, well, look, the first film made 135 million, I think, when it came out. But this one made 100 million over 2 days. But what the National Association of Theater Owners is pushing back on this analysis and these numbers by saying, well, this is a rarity because and a unique situation because everyone has been forced to stay home. People were home with their families. People wanted entertainment. They wanted content. And so that's why the numbers were so high. And they're saying, wait and see once the theaters reopen and you start to drop these films digitally, will you see the same numbers? You know, I don't think a studio cares. I think a studio only cares about profit. So if they're seeing the numbers that are correlative to dropping it online and dropping in the theater at the same time, then they don't care about theater window. They don't care about these windows, right? They just care about being able to show things in a theater to make money and show things digitally to make money as well. Theater owners and theater organizations like the AMC and the National Association of Theater, I absolutely understand their point of view because they're like, well, if you take away the exclusivity of a product being shown only in our theaters for people to go and spend their money at who want to go see this movie, then what's the point of us being around, or we're going to lose money. And eventually a lot of those theaters are going to go out of business. So this is some interesting new uncharted territory for theater owners and for, you know, studios. I know for me, growing up during the advent of when movies started to become event events, you know, in the 70s with Jaws and Star Wars and what have you, and going forward into the 80s with the action films and the big blockbuster spectacles into the 90s and in the 2000s. Yeah, I've seen the theater window. I've seen that kind of close between a movie being screened in the theater and then a movie being available for you to buy or rent at your local video store. It was a long time. It used to be, I think, anywhere from 6 months to a year before you'd see a movie appear on VHS or on DVD for you to rent, and then eventually on Blu-ray, of course, or digitally when that started to be a thing. You had to wait for it. You had to wait till the theatrical run was done. So sometimes if a film was really popular, it'd be in the theater for 6 months, and then you'd have to wait another 6 months to possibly own it, or another 3 months to possibly own it, or somewhere in between there, 3 to 6 months to own it. And if it was an independent film, it could take longer. If it was a foreign film, it could take longer. So, but now it's 90 days is the window, and I've seen some windows at 75 days. So that starts to get smaller and smaller. So the theater owners are trying to defend their turf, and I get it. The studios are trying to be like, well, where can we make the most profit as quickly as possible? I also understand that it's two businesses clashing with each other over product here. Let's see if I've got any. I've got a lot of comments on this one. I appreciate that. Certainly, see if any Streamlabs or Super Chats for jump into a little bit more factual stuff about this. Oh, hey, Nikki Therese donated a little bit. It said, hi, John. I'm the girl from SD Backstage yesterday with the stat sheet. Oh, yeah, Nikki, nice to see you. Thanks again for your comments. Lucky for you, I'm an exchange ride or die, so maybe I'll share with you all one day. Also, loved your set in Atlanta and hope to chat at a live event one day. I'd love it, Nikki, absolutely. Like I said on the show yesterday, I have a matchup coming up with Ethan Irwin. Any statistics that you can come up with to help me in that match and you want to send along, please feel free. I will even put you on one of the Outlaw Nation shows and we'll have a quick conversation about it. Or maybe if you become a patron, we can have an on-camera conversation about it for other people to enjoy and have an interest in. So yeah, Nikki, please, that'd be fun. So please, come up with a little bit of stat sheet to help me with Ethan Irwin. That's a beast that is difficult for me to beat. Andy Burnett's donated as well, said, cheers. Here's to going back to work full-time next week for me. Oh, good. Congratulations. I totally expect to pay for Trolls again to purchase it, even though I rented it. What movie is on your shelf that you didn't remember buying or liking? Well, I always remember buying every movie that I have and the reasons behind it. Now, in the past, I used to be a crazy collector. I would just, if I even had an inkling of liking a movie, I would buy it. But that's kind of changed as the formats have changed, right? It's been that way. Like, I used to have a lot of VHSs, and then when it went to DVD, I bought mostly all the DVDs, but when I went to Blu-ray, I started to become a little more exclusive because I was like, how many times am I really going to watch this? Is this a hunter-gatherer thing, or is this legitimately you wanting to own this movie? And then eventually when I went to 4K, I've been even more exclusive with 4K and only have a certain amount of 4Ks because I think 4K is built for showing you incredible films that have great cinematography. So I think that's where you go with four. So I have a smaller number of 4K films than I do overall Blu-rays, and a smaller number of Blu-rays than I had overall VHSs. With the Criterion, though, that's an interesting situation for me. Sometimes I will buy Criterion Collections movies or Criterion Collection movies without even having seen them. I've read some great reviews about those movies. And a lot of those movies are foreign cinema, German, Dutch, French, Russian cinema, Japanese, Chinese. So there's a lot of cinema that I wouldn't normally have exposure to that I can take a look at and watch on the Criterion Collection. So those are ones that I buy sometimes and haven't even seen them, and I like to enjoy them for the first time at home and then watch all the special features with them because I'm a lover of cinema. I'm a student of cinema. So to me, those Criterion Collections are some of the best things you can own in the world for sure. Thank you for your question, Andy. Really appreciate it. I want to make sure I didn't miss any Streamlabs. No, I did not. Or Super Chats, rather. No, I did not. Oh, there's 130 all in here. Thank you so much for joining me here on Mornings with the Outlaw. Please swing that cursor button over and hit like. Only 54 likes, but 130 all watching right now. Please swing that cursor button over. Hit the likes. Let's get over 100 as soon as possible and start marching towards 150 as the show goes along. So as I was saying here with this, release of Trolls World Tour on PBOD and the numbers and all that, I was talking about AMC, the National Association of Theater Owners. Well, it's it popped off yesterday because AMC after, and this was after, was it Shell? I'm sorry, let me get the name right. I want to get the name right. Yeah, NBC Universal CEO Jeff Shell released a statement after the numbers were dropped by the Wall Street Journal report yesterday for Trolls World Tour. Shell told the Wall Street Journal that the premium video on-demand arena has long been a goal. That's PVOD, premium video on demand. That's what that means. Not VOD. VOD is different. PVOD is a certain amount of time where the film is available for you to own, or sorry, for you to rent, but not own. And video on demand is one you can actually watch or own. He said the results for Trolls World Tour have exceeded our expectations and demonstrated the viability of PVOD. As soon as theaters reopen, we expect to release movies on both formats. All right, that's the key line of that statement, right? As soon as theaters reopen, we expect to release movies on both formats. That implies theater and video on demand. And they're essentially saying day and date. So the same day that a film comes out in the theater, they want it to be available for you to rent digitally at your house, probably for a two-day window. And so that's what they want to make possible. Well, this spurred a very strong response from AMC. Their CEO, Adam Aaron. Remember, AMC has been struggling over this pandemic, and a lot of analysts were looking at this as a possible bankruptcy situation. They just recently got a $500 million influx of money to keep them afloat, keep them alive, and now it seems like they're going to come back. They've said they're going to come back in July with Tenet, Christopher Nolan's Tenet on July 17th. And Disney's Mulan on July 24th. CEO Adam Aaron said this radical change by Universal to the business model that currently exists between our two companies represents nothing but downside for us and is categorically unacceptable to AMC Entertainment. And he dropped his bombshell at the end here and said, going forward, AMC will not license any Universal movies in any of our 1,000 theaters globally on these terms. Accordingly, we want to be absolutely clear so that there's no ambiguity of any kind. That's my kind of guy. He doesn't believe in subtlety. AMC believes that with this proposed action to go to the home and theater simultaneously, Universal is breaking the business model and dealings between our two companies. So this apparently exposed a little bit of friction that has been happening for quite some time here between the studios and these movie theaters, especially AMC. AMC full on accusing Universal and the National Association of Theater Owners as well accused Universal of having this agenda to want to destroy this window the whole time, took advantage of it by dropping Trolls World Tour, and now is using those numbers to support their point of view, or manipulating those numbers to support their point of view, and ignoring the possible counter argument that this is happening because it's a unique situation where everyone is home. There's not content for them to go consume at the movie theater, so they're just going to consume it in their houses. Aaron said he was not bluffing. He said effectively, immediately, AMC will no longer play any Universal movies, no longer in any of our theaters in the United States, Europe, or the Middle East. This policy affects any and all Universal movies per se, goes into effect today, and as our today, and that was yesterday, and as our theaters reopen, and is not some, it's not some hollow or ill-considered threat. He said that the same policy would take effect for any studio that, quote, unilaterally abandons current windowing practices absent good faith negotiations between us. And Universal is one of the biggest Hollywood studios to do this. I mean, this affects the Fast and Furious franchise. It's coming out next year. It's going to affect some of their movies that they want to release for Oscar consideration. Remember 1917? One right there is Universal Pictures as well. Despicable Me is a franchise. The Minions, all of that is Universal as well. This apparently has been going on for quite some time between the theaters and, Universal Studios. And of course, let me bring up the National Association of Theater because I want to make sure I get their quotes right as well. Because now more and more films are starting, like as we're keep being shut down. King of Staten Island is coming out is going to be on PVOD as well. That's what they're, and there's rumors that the David Chase prequel, The King of Staten Island, that's going to come out as well as a PVOD situation. And of course, this could affect the How to Train Your Dragon stuff as well. Let's see here. Aaron said what he said, and I got we don't need to go with the long letter. I already read you the pretty much. Okay. So, the National Association of Theater Owners, was accused by Universal Pictures after they released a statement kind of pushing back on these numbers from the Wall Street Journal as well. And AMC supported AMC in their efforts. So Universal now turned around and accused the National Association of Theater Owners and AMC of coordinating together in response to the numbers from the Wall Street Journal to try to destroy this idea of doing the day and date. And of course, National Association of Theater Owners, they pushed back. The released a statement saying NATO and AMC did not coordinate those statements in any way. Universal has made a reckless charge this evening. Unfortunately, Universal has a destructive tendency. This is interesting now. This is a full-on shot. Universal has a destructive tendency to both announce decisions affecting their exhibitor partners without actually consulting with those partners, and now of making unfounded accusations without consulting with their partners. This performance is indicative, and I'm talking about Trolls World Tour. This is what their statement was from the National Association of Theater Owners. This performance is indicative of hundreds of millions of people isolated in their homes seeking entertainment, not a shift in consumer viewing preferences. It is not surprising that people under shelter in-home ordinances for weeks on end with increasingly limited entertainment options would take advantage of the movie's direct-to-VOD move to keep children entertained, even at a premium price. Also, Universal heavily marketed the title as a theatrical release in theaters and elsewhere for weeks on end that is unlikely to recur in normal times, and those costs haven't been disclosed. While Universal may be pleased with the PVOD results of Trolls World Tour, this outcome should not be interpreted as a sign of a new normal for Hollywood. So there we go. Pretty strong statements on both sides. They are attacking Universal Studios at this point, but you know, Warner Brothers is going to be releasing Scoob on May 15th to PVOD as well. My Spy from STX is headed to Amazon. The Lovebirds has gone to Netflix. Artemis Fowl is going to be released by Disney Plus's PVOD as well. So NATO pushed back about not attacking those studios because he said those studios didn't have a CEO who came out and said that they wanted to release the movie day and date. So until those studios say that, they're going to be acting in good faith with those studios that they don't want to break the windowing process here that is anywhere from 75 to 90 days after a movie is done or released that it can appear digitally for people to watch. NATO cited a morning consult poll that said U.S. adults say the on-demand price range that they'd be willing to pay in-home for a movie currently in theaters is $5 to $8 with the optimum price being $6. So they doubt people will consistently want to pay $20 to watch a movie at their homes. Pretty incredible stuff here. Pretty strong back and forth between all the parties involved in this situation, but certainly drama on high school drama and lawyer drama here. Larry Lee says, I'm fascinated with the fight between AMC and Universal. Clearly, you're not the only one. I felt the need to lead this show with this because you rarely see two large organizations like this going at each other in such a strong manner. Usually there's passive aggressive things are said, a little slight shade thrown at the end of certain comments to kind of insinuate, hey, don't do this, because if you do this, we're going to have to do this. But it seems like from these statements, these are very strong statements, strong tentpoles that are being put in the ground between these two organizations, AMC and their theater and their collection of theater owners and the National Association of Theater Owners themselves and Universal. And who knows, if Disney comes out and starts to do this, starts to clamor for a day-and-date release situation. Will that now all of a sudden encourage Warner Brothers to do so? Will encourage other studios to do so? We shall see. But this is a battle that is raging here because both organizations see the possibility of either loss of profits or making profits by having this situation go in a certain direction. Obviously, the theater owners would make more profit if the studios adhered to the window, the 75 to 90 day window for these releases. And obviously, the studio, or at least Universal, I don't know if the other studios feel this way, but Universal feels that if they do the day and date, they'll be able to recoup the most amount of profit from the situation. I do see points on both sides. I do see what the theater owners and AMC are saying here by saying, hey, this is an unusual situation. You can't make an entire wholesale sea change in movie releases and going to PVOD or VOD based on this situation. It's an unusual situation. It's not the norm or the new normal, as they said. But by the same token, I also think Universal sees this, and maybe they've got internal polling where they've seen that if they go this route, this is what the public wants now. This is what consumers want now. Why? Because they don't want to deal with the hassle of driving to the movie theater, the hassle of getting the family all together, the high cost of tickets per person, the high cost of refreshments, all of that. I mean, AMC started that Stubbs for a reason, right? I mean, that the A-list or whatever it is, I'm on it. And of course, MoviePass was the motivation before that to make A-list happen. And you can't tell me AMC is making a lot of money off the A-list. They're not. They're making money off the refreshments. But if there's no product to put in the theater, and that's the thing that this comes down to, doesn't it? If Universal says, you know, we want to do this way, will they be willing to only make movies that will be streamed digitally as PVOD movies? Will they have to go that route? And how many theaters will absolutely bar Universal movies from being screened in their theaters and possibly lose profit that could keep them afloat as a business? So this is very, very interesting. And if Disney chimes in on this in one direction or another, I think that's going to be where this battle ends up finishing. Whichever way Disney goes, I think that's where the end result will be. Whatever Disney wants will influence the market greatly. So I'm fascinated by all of this because you rarely see these organizations like this go crazy. And, you know, people, I mean, you know, studios are losing money. The box office is losing profit. So I think these studios are scrambling for a way to make some money in some format, and they're willing to adapt and improvise and change and move around. And yeah, maybe Universal was being a bit, the CEO for Universal was being a bit going off prompter, I guess is what they saw, or going rogue a little bit by saying his comment about the day and date, or maybe that comment was on purpose to kind of serve notice to AMC and the National Association of Theater Owners that this is where they want to go. And so you're going to have to get on board if you want our product in your theaters to keep you alive. So it's a strong game of chicken with a lot of money, billions of dollars on the line in this strong game of chicken between Universal and these theater owners. And as I said, I'm curious to see where the other studios chime in on, what side they chime in on, because I think that's going to make all the difference in the world as well. Let's see. Diamond Round says AMC screwing themselves even more. They act like people will stop going to the movie theaters because movies will be available online. Sure, they'll make less, but that's better than making zero. Yeah, I agree with you. I think people will go. Yes, SoShare slice of cake is getting thinner for cinemas. Absolutely. I think people will go because people love the movie going experience, but you also can't deny that people don't want to have to go if they don't want to. And as I said a few Mornings with the Outlaws ago, you can't discount the fact that there are more people who are becoming socially awkward and don't want to be around other people, who are being insensitive to being around other people. You know, those people that go into the theater and are loud as shit and, you know, opening up their or having long, loud conversations, or you can't tell them to shut up because they get all mad, want to fight you, or they don't turn off their phones, or they're playing Angry Birds. Who wants to go to a movie and enjoy a movie next to a couple that's talking their face off because they can't, because they're, they, you know, because either they're old, and there's nothing wrong with the elderly going to a movie theater. I'm just saying this is an actual situation that happens. Do you want to sit next to a couple two seats away from you who's talking the whole time through the movie because one has to explain the movie to the other? Or do you want to sit with that next to that family whose kids are jumping around and screaming and kicking the back of your chair? There are a lot of negative experiences to going to the movie theater. This is why I only go to the ArcLight most of the time, or even the Grove with my group of friends, because those are the best movie going experiences. When I go to Burbank, odds on I'll get people who are too loud, or I get those loud families, or when I go to the other theaters in different cities, I don't necessarily have the same pure movie going experience that I have in Los Angeles proper, especially at the ArcLight or the Grove. People are more respectful of that in Hollywood proper, LA proper. So it's, I'm not trying to cast aspersions or be snooty about it. I'm just saying, if I'm going to pay this much for a movie ticket, I want to enjoy my experience and not have to deal with all this other stuff that takes away from the enjoyment of the emotional journey I'm going to go on when I go see a movie. That's just my opinion. I don't want to make anybody upset about it. So I'm just, this is my idea. Let's see. Do we have any other Streamlabs or Super Chats? Yeah, guys, send in your Streamlabs, send in your Super Chats. I'm curious to hear what you think, curious to answer your questions as well about all of this. Andrew G said, do you think the studios are also hesitating to release more on video on demand or whatever because of piracy? If a movie is released digitally, it makes it really easy to get without actually paying for it. No, I think piracy is going to exist one way or another, Andrew G. I appreciate your question. It's a good question. Certainly, they might have concerns about piracy, but you can go. If you know how to find these websites that show or have these movies before they come out digitally, or you can see movies there that are pirated, or you can see movies there that are current new releases that they send, or somebody goes in there with a camera on their iPhone or whatever and shoots the movie from their seat. And for some people, they just want to see the movie. They don't care that they hear the other person reacting to it. They don't care that it's a little wobbly or kind of out of focus at times. They'll see it in a pirated way. So I think piracy is always going to exist, and you can set up parameters to try to stop it, you know, certain codes or whatever. I'm sure there are digital ways to try and stop certain things from being shared. Maybe you put the name, you know, maybe the name comes up like they do with screeners. I don't know. There's a number of ways that they could possibly explore to do that, but I don't think you're ever going to eradicate piracy, in my opinion, from a situation like this. But it's certainly a valid question, a valid concern to have. Let's see. I've got a couple of Streamlabs that came through. I missed, or Super Chats rather. Let me see if I can find it here on the stream here. Start bringing it up to answer for everyone. Here it is. All right. Mukbang Reviews said, what do you think the other studios will do or have to say about all this? Great job analyzing this issue. Thank you, Mukbang. I appreciate it. I don't know what the other studios are going to have to say about it, to be honest with you. As I said, it's either going to be Disney or it's going to be Warner Brothers. I mean, those are the next big studios that would have to chime in on this. Sony Pictures certainly as well. What's their approach to this? Also, now, and here's another side to this thing, Mukbang, just talking out loud in my head as I'm analyzing this. That's how I work things out. What are the streaming services going to say about it? Are they going to have issues with this? Because maybe these studios, by dropping these films digitally, video on demand or PVOD, could cut into the profits of streaming services and the viewing numbers of streaming services, right? If you're getting a glut of new releases that are coming out for you to watch digitally, how inclined will you be to go and watch an old movie on Netflix, or an older movie, or a movie you've seen before, or a movie that just came out on Netflix like 6 months after it came out in the theater? How curious, how inclined will you be to go to that, or Amazon Prime or Hulu or what have you? Disney Plus, or what's coming, HBO Max that's coming out. How inclined will you be to go and do that if you're trying to catch up on all the new releases digitally? Will you want to have the service necessarily? And will you use the service at as high numbers as, and people use those numbers, those services use those numbers for advertisement. They use those numbers to get sponsors. They use those numbers to get investors. They also use those numbers to convince studios to give them their movies to stream on their services. Now, if studios start to create their own streaming services full on, and start to drop their movies for PVOD on those streaming services, how is that going to affect things? So there's a lot here to explore. And no matter what analyst you read, there's no way they have a full grasp on the entire situation because it's such an amoeba-like situation. You know, it's changing all the time, so you don't know what what the end result is going to be until we have more information, more trial and error, more approaches to this, and more chances being taken either by the studios or the theater owners to either drop a film or not show a film in their theaters. That has to all come about, and then we'll have an idea of what's working for people and what isn't working for people. So I don't know where the studios will land, Mukbang, to be honest with you. I think it all depends on where they see the most profit long term. Most studios do work long term, you know, so we'll see. Ryan C says, I'm socially awkward, but love going to the movies. I think AMC is insane for going this route. But then again, I'm not an expert on theater chains. Yeah, but you're a moviegoer, so you've got a strong opinion about it one way or another. So you've got a valid choice. And I totally respect the fact that you still go to the movie theaters when you're socially awkward. I know a bunch of people who don't like to go, but they go because they want to see the movie, but they don't necessarily enjoy going to the movie theater or the movie theater experience because of the social awkwardness. So Ryan, answer the question, would you go if you didn't have to go? That's the question to ask you is like, if this movie was available at the comfort of your home with your nice couch, with your chill couch and whatever couch you have, I'll say that if it's chill or nice or from college or whatever, like your comfort is important. So would you rather watch it at home on a decent television with a decent sound system and enjoy the movie? And I hear Sean Barreto, I saw your comment, you know, you can't imitate the movie going experience at home. You can't. Not a lot of us are rich. I'm not rich. I know a lot of you probably watching me aren't rich. You can't afford your own simulated movie theater in your house. You can't, you know, build it out and pay to have it set up to feel like a movie theater. But you can come to a certain level of closeness to a movie going experience with a good sound system and a good television, an LG OLED with a good 5.1 surround system, which you can get for around, I don't know if you save up for it, it could be around $600 to $800, $900. You would totally simulate a version of the movie going experience that would be good for you. Now, will your neighbors be pissed? Probably, but you could simulate the movie going experience in that manner. So we'll see, Ryan. Let me know, Ryan. Would you go anyway if you didn't have to? So Mike Shea, thank you so much. Mike Shea with a super chat. If Universal goes forward with this, it'll hurt their Oscar eligibility due to their pre-existing rules about when a film can be released on VOD. I'm going to take a drink before I answer you. All right. I'm going to address this in the third part of the show. But absolutely, I agree with you, Mike. If Universal goes forward with this as a policy, not just for 2020, but as a policy, I think it will hurt their Oscar eligibility, obviously, if the Oscars don't change the rules. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. The Oscars did change the rules for 2020. This happened yesterday morning. After a two-hour Zoom meeting with the Board of Governors there, they did make a decision to make streaming films eligible for Oscars to encourage theaters or to encourage studios to drop films digitally or and release them available for Academy members to watch them to vote. So that is where they've done that. And I'll get into it more in just a little bit. So yes, if this goes forward, over the next few years as a policy, this will absolutely hurt Universal and their Oscar chances, depending on the rules from the Academy, if they're willing to change the rules for certain studios. I don't know. But yeah, it's a great point you make, Mike. Absolutely. We shall see how that will come to be or come out as this goes along. Ryan C. said, I would 100% still go. Oh, thanks for answering, man. You don't hear crowd reactions at home, and that's one of the best parts. You can't truly replicate the experience at home. Okay, that's fair. I think, you know what? Someone somewhere is coming up with the ability to be able to have people watch movies from home and listen to other people watching the movies in their homes at the same time so that you can replicate the feeling in your headphones like you're sitting in a movie theater with a bunch of other people. You know, I've gone to rooftop movie screenings, and I'm sitting there with like 75 people, 60 people on a rooftop and all of us are wearing headphones. So we are in essence in a communal movie going experience, but we're all listening or experiencing the movie separately with our headphones on. So we might not necessarily hear other people laughing as we're laughing, but we are experiencing the movie in a communal. So that's an interesting way to experience it as well, where it's communal, but still individual. So yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I appreciate Ryan C saying you'd want to go. And I do understand, yeah, replicating the actual vibe of having people around you is not easy to do. All right, we're at 160 viewers. Thank you all so much for joining me live here on Mornings with the Outlaw. But we're only at 90 likes. Would love it if you took the time, just a couple of seconds, to swing that cursor over and hit that like button on the video. I want to get over 100 likes as quickly as possible. March on to 150 likes, hopefully by the end of the show. You know, just kind of helps YouTube make this more of a visible show for people to watch or catch if the likes are high. Obviously, if the view numbers are high, but the likes help a lot as well. The comments when we drop these things are good as well. So just want to say, if you're watching this after it's gone live, leave a comment below. It's really important to leave as many comments down there, kind of letting me know what you enjoyed about the show, or letting YouTube know, because they look at those things on their algorithm. They look at comments, they look at likes, they look at dislikes. They look at view numbers, obviously, and they look at interaction. So anything you guys can do to help get the Outlaw Nation a little more visibility would be great. And by the way, I should say this real quickly before we move too much more further on. I want to thank everybody who came aboard the Outlaw Nation over the last few weeks. We crossed 13,000 subscribers last night. So thank you all so much for joining the nation and being a part of the nation as we build this thing from the ground up. I can't thank you all enough. You've been invaluable in your support, invaluable as I've embraced doing this fully and putting out as much content for you all to enjoy and consume as possible. So thank you very, very much. 13,000 subscribers. Now we're marching closer to 20,000. So here we go. All right, got over 100 likes. We're at 108 likes. So let's start marching. Speaking of marching, to 150 likes. And yes, thank you, Jake. That is the Streamlabs address there. Send in your questions. Send in some support for the Outlaw Nation to keep the lights on. Really appreciate it. Also, thank you to Jake Iacovetta for another fantastic thumbnail this morning. I'm telling you, the guy, it's just incredible the work he does. He did thumbnail for the Scott Mance show last night, and of course did the overlay for that as well. Helps it look very, very professional, combined with Brian Ward's videos that open the shows. It's just an invaluable situation for me here on the Outlaw Nation as we go forward and build more and more things and get more and more attention from the industry for the Outlaw Nation. So there's one more thing I wanted to throw in here, but I'm not sure if I can find it in time. Yeah, as I stated on Instagram and on Twitter, some of you may have seen that. Speaking of Jake Iacovetta, another great thumbnail he did is that right there. My deep cut episode with Isa Lopez. I interviewed her earlier this week, yesterday actually, for an hour. Really great time with her. Oh, no, not yesterday. Monday. Very busy day, Monday. But we talked for about an hour about Tigers Are Not Afraid, about her her career, about the project she's got coming up with Guillermo del Toro and a couple of other studios, the things that she's working on there. Noah Hawley. She's working on something with Noah Hawley. We talked about that, but we spent a lot of time talking about Tigers Are Not Afraid, which is available now on AMC on Shudder. If you want to see that hour and 30-minute Mexican horror movie from Isa Lopez, that is like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. So very, very well received horror film. But we sat down for an hour talking about the deep cut. It'll be coming out next week in honor of the release of it, of Tigers Not Afraid coming being available on Blu-ray and digital and DVD. So look for that interview. And thanks to Jake for that thumbnail and the overlay for the deep cut there as well. So look, she's great. She was so much fun to talk to. It was really hard to resist speaking to her in Spanish. So, but we did a little bit at the end when I thanked her for the movie she was able to do. Yes, the other Corey Cameron is asking this one as well. Has the interview with Greg Nicotero happened? That's another one. Thumbnail from Jake Iacovetta. There it is. Boom. Yes, Greg Nicotero. Wait, let me take that off there. Yes, Greg and I already spoke for an hour. This was a couple of weeks ago. We sat down and talked about Creepshow and his inspiration for bringing it back. And by the way, both Creepshow and Tigers Are Not Afraid are both available on AMC's Shudder. You can sign up for Shudder for 7 days for free and immediately have access to all their content. So 7 days for free, and then if you don't want to watch anymore, you can kill the subscription at the free trial. At that point, you won't be charged anything. So I think that's a great streaming service for people who love horror and horror films. A lot of stuff's going to be on there. And so Greg and I spoke about that. And we spoke about what inspired him to bring back Creepshow and what he wants to do with it going forward as he's working on the second season. And he teased what we might be seeing in the second season just for a few seconds. And Issa Lopez as well in our interview teased on what her new project is coming up. She couldn't reveal too much, but she teased it just a little bit. And in some way, some weird way, she kind of connects romantic comedies to her horror, because she was writing a bunch of those in Mexico and then eventually moved into the horror realm in that. So some of you asking, who's Issa Lopez? Guys, get to know Issa Lopez. This is a director, a writer-director you're going to very much hear a lot from down the road as she's working on, as I said, with projects with Noah Hawley, Guillermo del Toro, and a legendary. She's working on a musical as well. So there's so much that she's working on now. Very much a director in demand. And I hope to interview her again down the road for the Outlaw Nation. All right. A quick other bit of promotion. The Top 10 Show, the podcast, is out. We dropped it yesterday. The Top 10 Female-Led Action Movie. So it's available for you to listen in podcast form. The link to the Top 10 podcast is in the description for this video that you're watching right now down there in the description section. Go and listen to me and Matt Nost counting down our top 10 female-led action movies and some controversy. There was some controversy in their show, some negotiations, and a film that I left off, and I give my reasons for why I left it off, which may be very controversial for some of y'all. You can also watch it if you want to watch our pretty faces. You can watch us on the Top 10 YouTube channel as well. We do the show there and have a good time doing it as well. All right. Now, is that everything? I think that's everything. Oh, wait. Wait, but there was one more thing. Boom! The Jedi Way is coming soon. It's coming soon from me, the Star Wars show here. I think I'm going to wait till next week. I was going to drop it this week, but May the 4th happens on Monday. So I think May the 4th should happen. And maybe I drop a special debut episode on May the 4th of The Jedi Way and then start the regular schedule of Thursdays, every Thursday dropping an episode of the show. So great graphic there from Brian Ward. Yet again. All right. I think that's enough of the pitching area or the promotion area of the show. Let's move on. And sadly, I have to move on to this story because it just came over the wire this morning as I was prepping the show and, sent me into a little bit of sadness about this this gentleman here. Actor Irfan Khan, unfortunately, has passed away at the very young age of 53 years old. He was someone that I thoroughly enjoyed watching and seeing his work, of course, in Slumdog Millionaire and Life of Pi and a number of other movies. For me personally, I first saw him in A Mighty Heart. That's the movie from with Angelina Jolie about Daniel Pearl, about his beheading. He was a reporter. He was exploring what was happening here in the Middle East, and he was beheaded. And so it's a fantastic film, but he's so good in it as the police captain. And I think Archie Punjabi's in the movie as well. They're both really good with Angelina Jolie in this film. And that's when I first saw him. But then, of course, Slumdog Millionaire, Life of Pi. He was 53 years old. His representative released a statement saying, "It's saddening that this day we have to bring forward the news of Irfan Khan passing away." This is from his PR agency, Hardly Anonymous Communications. "Irfan was a strong soul, someone who fought till the very end and was always inspired everyone who came close to him. He was one of India's best known and most beloved actors. But in March of 2018, he was diagnosed with a rare neuroendocrine tumor, an abnormal growth that began in the body's specialized neuroendocrine cells, according to the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic. Khan was admitted to the ICU in Mumbai's Kokilaban Dhirubhai, I hope I'm saying that right, Dhirubhai Ambani Hospital due to a colon infection. And sadly, his mother died last week. So just to add to a little bit more of the sadness to this, he was unable to attend her last rites because of the coronavirus lockdown restricting citizens' movements. He was born in the northern Indian state of Rajasthan. He attended the National School of Drama in New Delhi. After playing mainly supporting and character roles for more than a decade, he broke into leading roles in the early 2000s, starring in and winning his first award for the 2004 film Hasil. He got roles in other award-winning and nominated films like Life in a Metro and The Lunchbox. But of course, as I mentioned, he rose to international fame with Slumdog Millionaire, which won 8 Academy Awards and won 7 BAFTA Awards. And then in Life of Pi, of course, he plays the older character. I think it was Dev Patel in that movie. He just plays the older character in that movie. And that won multiple Golden Globes and Academy Awards. Of course, we saw him recently in The Amazing Spider-Man, Jurassic World, and Inferno. So many people released statements. So many fellow Indian actors released statements who knew Irfan Khan and spoke about him. Priyanka Chopra, a number of those celebrities and actors and people involved in the Indian film industry released. Colin Trevorrow released a statement as well on his Twitter released a statement as well over the loss of Irfan Khan. So clearly a man who touched a lot of lives, gone way too early at only 53 years old, a strong, powerful actor, and also further proof. And I want to encourage you all about this, further proof that actors are not just in America. There are a lot of great actors working in their film industries that we may never see them if they don't cross over and do a film that gets shown here in the States. But don't doubt that there are incredible actors that we are missing out on, or you are missing out on, but really we are missing out on if we don't make the effort to find their work in certain ways and when it's available to see. There's so many great French actors, probably so many of us have never seen, Russian actors, Spanish actors, so many African actors, Russian actors, Australian actors, although we've seen a bunch of those, to be honest with you, but sure, there are a lot of Asian actors that we don't see, that don't cross over into the mainstream of American consumption of those movies or that media. But further proof, because if he hadn't done Slumdog Millionaire, how many people would have heard of him in the States? If he hadn't done A Life of Pi, how many people would have heard of him in the States? So those are those things that I always think about when an actor of renown from another country who found his way to success in America, would we have ever known him if he hadn't, and would we have been grieving this passing and have appreciated the talent if he hadn't? Same thing, Christoph Waltz. Look, Tarantino found Christoph Waltz. Waltz was already killing it in what he was doing, I think, in Austria and Germany, and it was Tarantino who found him. But clearly, he was already an incredibly well-established and strong actor to deliver such a performance like he did in Glorious Bastards and subsequent Tarantino movies. So anyway, sad for the loss of Irfan Khan, 53 years old, way too young to be going from this earth. And we send our condolences and our love to his family. I think he leaves behind his wife and 2 daughters. So please take a moment to give some love to him as well. And of course, I think I'd be remiss not to mention from our own family and the Schmodown family, Craig Gagnier's, the loss of his wife yesterday from cancer. She had been struggling with cancer for quite some time, and it came back. And unfortunately, when it came back very strongly. And she fought all the way to the end, Sonia did. But yesterday morning, and this is the Barbarian, for those of you who are Schmodown fans, Craig Gagnier, member of the Finstock Exchange, someone that we all have quickly fallen in love with. not only as a competitor, but as a person. And his wife passed away yesterday morning from cancer. And my heart is just absolutely broken for him and goes out for him. Lindley and I both send our condolences to Craig. I have lost, obviously I lost my father to cancer. So I understand what this experience is like, understand what this pain is like. And so I just want to take a moment to give him some love. And hopefully you all will find a moment to give him some love on social media or give him some love in the Facebook page for the Schmodown, and show him that you support him and you want to give him some words of encouragement during this very, very tough time and this process. You know, that's how life goes. So much love to him. Much love to Irfan Khan as well. His family as well. Ben Wellen says, check out 2006, The Namesake, a great performance as well. Oh yeah, is that Cal Penn's movie? I remember that movie. I wanted to watch that movie, and for some reason it's kind of slipped past my radar, but I had it in my head because it was supposed to be an interesting film about the crossing or the slamming of cultures, because him being Indian but wanting to be with this white woman and what that represented to his family. I think I remember that film very strongly. All right, we have some Streamlabs that have come through. Let me address them here before we jump into our last topic and wrap up the show. Andrew G donated. He said, have you watched Ricky Gervais's Afterlife on Netflix? I finished it the other day. Had a lot of good hard laughs and good hard cries. Very curious to hear your thoughts on it, given some of the subject matter. I will say this. I've seen the first season. Absolutely loved it. Lily and I tore through it. I'm waiting for us to tear through the second season, and I'll probably do a review for it on my channel. Certainly something that I really enjoyed the first season of. I wasn't the biggest fan of Derek. I tried Derek, and it was a little too weird for me. Not my jam. Obviously, great stuff from The Office, and I loved Extras like crazy. But Afterlife is one of these ones that I really enjoyed from him. I like that there are no barriers with Ricky. And he doesn't go, he goes to those places that normally would make you cringe, but you know there's an earnestness of his in his desire to go to those places to showcase something and find the humor in it. So a good recommendation, Andrew G. said, if you guys aren't watching Afterlife, give it a chance on Netflix. Trust me. And it's a quick watch. It's like 10 episodes, 30 minutes each. It's a fun watch. Andrew G. also donated and said, have you decided whether or not you're going to release the first episode of Jedi Way this Thursday or save it for May 4th? Also, can we get a tease about what the first topic might be? Can't wait. I can't tease the first topic just yet. But I will say that it's something that is had got some attention from me. So that's what I'll say. The first topic will address something that got attention from me in Star Wars. So that'll be the first topic. But yeah, I think I'll release the first episode on May the 4th. I know it'll probably get lost in all the glut of other stuff being released on May 4th, but it seems appropriate in a weird way for me to drop it on May 4th for people to consume. And maybe we won't get the highest number of views, but it'll be the first episode of The Jedi Way. And then on Thursday, I'll drop another one. So probably next week, you'll get two episodes of The Jedi Way. And then subsequently, every Thursday, there'll be a new episode. As I said, I'm trying to keep it to 30, 35 minutes, maybe a little bit less, depending on what the conversation is about. And hopefully get some guests to have a back and forth about the topic that I want to address on The Jedi Way. We shall see. So already putting the energy out there for Joseph Scrimshaw, Ken Knapsack, Mark Riley, Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, Emma Fife, the Ace Cabrera, are all these people that I know who know Star Wars so well. Hopefully Alex Damon, Molly Damon, the crew over at the Resistance Broadcast Center, everybody over there. They've all said that they'll be willing to come on. So, as this goes on, and maybe, the Star Wars, Black Rebels could be interesting too. That would be fun to have that crew coming in too. So we'll see. Everything up in the air, but I know I want to do this show and it'll be dropping on May 4th. So just an announcement there for you all. All right, I think that's all the Streamlabs and the Super Chats. Got about 150 all in here. Thank you so much. Please swing over, hit that like button. That would be awesome for me here on the show and get as many likes before we have to wrap this thing up. Where is it? Was Bespin a topic? I'm not going to say at all, my man. Corny Kenner says, I love the fact that you are talking Star Wars. I'm so excited. Me too. I'm very excited as well. So Bespin is a main plot point in Star Wars. Sure it is, but it's only mentioned once by Han Solo under his breath. So for me to, don't get me started. Cloud City I knew because Cloud City is the stuff. I knew about Cloud City. But Bespin was, I don't know. I don't feel as bad about Bespin anymore as I used to. Let's see. Someone else is recommending something. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Movie Master 3 said, I'm on episode 3 of Gangs of London right now. All right. So it's good to know Gangs of London is out. I'm absolutely going to watch that at some point down the road. Tim Franco, he says, late due to a work meeting. Morning, John. Morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining me, brother. We're about to jump into the last topic. And why don't we just go ahead and do that now, as we've got about 20 minutes before we wrap this thing up and hand you all off to the SCN Live crew. And the next topic is, of course, the Oscars. Bum, 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 the Oscars. So let's talk about this. This came out yesterday, as I mentioned, yesterday morning. The news came out about the Oscars and what is going to be happening here. And the changes. So I want to make sure I get all the changes in here for you all to consume and accept and maybe comment on as well. Let's see here. So it's a this happened yesterday. It was on a Zoom meeting, as I mentioned. The Academy Awards ceremony, the 93rd Academy Awards ceremony, is still going to happen on February 28th. 2021. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, aka AMPAS, the 54-person Board of Governors, acting on the recommendation of its Awards Rules Committee. By the way, this is coming from the Hollywood Reporter. I just want to give credit there to the Hollywood Reporter. On Tuesday morning, they voted during a secure Zoom session that lasted over 2 hours to significantly ease Oscar eligibility requirement in response to the ongoing pandemic that has largely shut down the global film industry. This season, and until further notice, films can qualify for the competition without screening for at least 1 week in Los Angeles, in a Los Angeles area theater. Once again, let me repeat that. All films can qualify for the competition without screening for at least 1 week in a LA theater, a longstanding barrier for entry. After all, movie theaters in LA and most of the country remain shuttered indefinitely. Anyway, the films that were scheduled for theatrical release that meet the other eligibility requirements and are made available for Academy members to view on the organization's members-only streaming service, the Academy Screening Room, within 60 days of being made available on a publicly available streamer or VOD service, will be in the running. And this covers any and all pictures that were scrapped or that scrapped their theatrical release due to the coronavirus and are using another method to reach out to their consumers, such as Trolls World Tour. The Awards Rules Committee emphasized that this should be a one-time adjustment, that it is not fair to punish companies and filmmakers who felt or feel the need, for reasons financial or otherwise, to get their work out to the world prior to the resumption of traditional movie going. So what that basically means is they don't want to punish anyone who wants to submit their film for streaming, because the studios need to make money off this film, or the filmmakers themselves need to make money off these films. So they want these films to still be eligible for Oscar contention. So they don't want them to be dinged because they were released in a way that was different, not in the theater, but streaming. So I think that's smart. And you respect the filmmakers, you respect the studios, you keep that relationship strong. And hey, it's also a selfish need. I don't mean that in a selfish and negative way, but the Oscars want to have a ceremony, and you can't have a ceremony when only 2.5 months of movies have been released, or 3 months of movies have been released. So you got to make these movies more of it. So I think this opens the door now, possibly, for movies to start coming out now streaming. I mean, studios at least have to have a conversation with themselves. Okay, what movies are we going to release that will be to streaming services or to our streaming service that we think has a really good shot of winning an Oscar, you know? So that may be the reasons why Universal's releasing King of Staten Island and releasing the Pete Davidson one, the Judd Apatow Pete Davidson one. Maybe those are the reasons they're releasing these there out for people to consume early, because they think they might have Oscar contention. So who knows? Maybe this will encourage more studios to start releasing these films digitally so they can be in contention for awards. That leads back to Mike Shea's super chat from earlier. This would screw Universal in the future, but it doesn't screw Universal this year if they were to start releasing their movies digitally, despite the battle with AMC and the National Association of Theater Owners. I'm saying that over and over again because I don't want to say NATO, because I don't want to confuse people, because that's what the moniker is, NATO. But NATO stands for something else, of course, North American Treaty Alliance. North American Treaty Organization, but this is National Association of Theater Owners. So I don't want to get the people confused with that the anagram. All right, Tuesday's virtual gathering also resulted in a number of other changes, and here's the other changes. The two sound Oscars, that's right, Best Sound Editing and Best Sound Mixing, well, now, this is after a period of study initiated and conducted by the governors of the sound branch, they've been consolidated into one, and it's going to be called Best Sound, which will recognize both editors and mixers and brings the number of Oscars down from 24 to 23. Also, and this is really important one, to be eligible for the Best Original Score Oscar, at least 60% of a film's music must be original, as opposed to predominantly original, which was the prior standard. So only 60% of the film's music must be original. The rest can be derivative or sound or taken from other songs or whatever, as opposed to the earlier version, which was like, you know, it was kind of implied that it had to be about over 90% original music. So, wow, what does that mean? Does that mean like something like Guardians of the Galaxy could win best score if it has 60% score of original composition and then 40% of other songs or not original music? It could be interesting, or covers. Also, all Academy members, not just those who are able and willing to attend screenings at the organization's headquarters in Beverly Hills, will now be able to vote to help determine the best international feature Oscar shortlist, submissions for which will be made available for streaming via the Academy screening room. So that's interesting as well. So now more people will be able to vote for the International Feature Oscar contenders for that. So a lot of changes here happening. You know, it's funny, the pandemic is happening, but still people are doing things. The pandemic is happening, but people, movies are still going on. Movie news is still happening. Sports news is still happening. Everything is still happening. People want to feel like it's still all going this way. So that's some interesting. What do you all think about the best sound situation? Is anyone a sound mixer or a sound editor who's watching or has a thing about sound mixing and sound editing and wants to let me know what they think about this? Because I personally think if they've done this study and they've initiated the study and they finally came to this conclusion, I would have to think that they came to this conclusion with the approval of whoever the head of the sound mixers are, or whoever the head of the sound editors are, that it's okay to combine these two. And, you know, it's always been a common Oscars joke when you go to Academy Award night and you're doing the pool with your friends, like, what's the difference between sound mixing and sound editing? Seems the same to me. What's the difference? So I guess maybe in this way they think they are a kind of similar category, so they combine them into one, into best sound. So very interesting. Solskjaer says that they should give stunts an Oscar now. Yeah, not a bad suggestion for sure. A lot of people would like to see casting get Oscars now too, so we shall see. Ben Wellington says doing a mix is much different than recording. All right, so what are your thoughts? Do you think this is a bad idea? Do you think this is an insult to recorders and to mixers? I want to know. Let's see. Please don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. Share and subscribe if you haven't. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate that. Yeah, we're only 131 likes. Let's get to 150 likes. Please, that'd be good to see that. I'd love to see you all drop that. That would be a lot of fun to get me up to 150 likes. Let's see what else we got here. So a lot of people are talking about the Sopranos sequel that is coming. Let's see. Yeah, please send in your Streamlabs there. There's the address if you want to send Streamlabs. I would appreciate that. Donex says, hi, Zabroka. Sorry, I'm late today. Oh, that's all right. Don't you sweat it, my man. Don't you sweat it. Just appreciate anybody showing up to hang out with us today. It's pretty cool. Let's see. Xeno Arrow wants to know, where can I watch Gangs of London? I think you can only watch it in the UK unless you have a VPN. So we shall see. You'll have to look it up. You have to do your own kind of research. We watched Deadwater Fell on Acorn TV. Tell you what, first three episodes, fantastic. Fourth episode, super let down. Not that difficult of a mystery to figure out. Oh, we're watching The Sinner right now as well. We tore through season two. I loved season two. I haven't seen season one. Season three, we're going to give it maybe one more episode before we throw in the towel on this one. So just not as engaging. Although I love Matt Bomer. I think Matt Bomer's doing a great job. It's the character that they've created for him that I just don't find that interesting. So we're going to watch the fourth episode at some point here and then decide if we're going to keep going with the this season or not, because the second season was so damn good. So damn good. So, yeah, Wellington says, I don't do it myself, but for the huge projects that are getting awarded, I think it's a lot of work hours that deserve to be awarded separately. Well, they were, Ben. So I wonder if maybe just these people that were ahead of both sides just decided, nah, we're good to go on this. There we go. MK Somber says season three was just meh, not enough intrigue. So maybe you're on my wavelength here, MK. So maybe it's just not the right one for us. So yeah, you are late to this one, Atlas. I'm late, but AMC not showing Universal. Are they afraid that people will not go to the movies anymore? No, it's just to clarify for those of you who maybe showed up late, AMC and Universal are battling here because Universal, their CEO, after the strong performance of Trolls World Tour, said they're exploring the idea of dropping their new films on both platforms at the same time, day and date. So dropping them on both out there in the movie theaters and also PVOD, premium video on demand, so people can watch it at home instead of going to the movie theaters. And AMC does not like that because they think it'll affect their profitability as a theater chain to have people go, well, why should I go to the theater when I can watch it at the house? So, and the studios don't care because they'll get the profit either way. So that's the big, big battle that is going on here. Someone asked about Last Dance, Vonya Kostiak. Yeah, Sean Barreto is right. I have a sports show called Game Time. Do it every Monday. Jay Washington and Winston Marshall and I on the show. We were on this past Monday, and I will tell you this. We talked about Last Dance. Absolutely. We had a lot of fun talking about that and enjoying that conversation. Jay being a Chicago Bulls fan for such a long time. Winston and I being fans of Jordan and those Bulls, but not having that same connection that Jay had growing up. So we reviewed those episodes of Last Dance on Game Time, which is up for you all to watch now. And it's almost at 2,000 views. So go and give it some more views. We have a really good time. And trust me, when Jay and Winston are the guests on Game Time, it is insane. All bets are off. All lines are crossed. I am just trying to hold on for dear life with those two, but they are so much fun. And we have a blast, the three of us, doing that show together, because we're not ESPN. We're not Fox Sports. We don't have to worry about anybody. We can just be ourselves and talk about our opinions on situations, but also have some really informed and logical takes on stuff as well. So, you know, it's not just like, oh, we're just shooting the shit. It's more like we have topics we want to discuss and we get into them deeply, kind of like Mornings with the Outlaw. We have topics we want to discuss, get into them deeply, and hear from you all what you think as well. You know, I give you my points of view, mad love. Pajani says, love from India. Love your work. Thank you so much, Pajani. I appreciate it. I did a little tribute to Irfan Khan earlier. Not sure if you like him as an actor or enjoyed his work, but just to let you know, did a little tribute to him earlier in the show. What a tremendous loss for us. But he, you know, certainly leaves an incredible legacy for a lot of people to follow. All right, let me see if I got any Streamlabs or Super Chats. I think that's it. Yes, I think that's it for today. So we should start wrapping up the show. Thank you all so much for joining me here on Mornings with the Outlaw. Don't forget, thank you, Donek. I appreciate love from Poland too. Yes, thank you, Donek. Appreciate you all joining me here every morning when I do Mornings with the Outlaw. Loving the new studio. Hope you all are enjoying the look of the new studio as well. At some point, I am going to get anti-reflective cover for that poster, but for now, I don't think it's too bad. So hopefully you all don't think it's too bad either. Please remember to follow me on all social media at The Roka Says right under there. That's my homage to The Rock. Not The Rock Says, The Roka Says. So please follow me there on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm trying to get the Twitter above 35,000, trying to get the Twitter above 20,000. And please come on and join me at my Patreon right there, www.patreon.com/John Roka. See the multiple tiers that are available for you to come on, and all the stuff you're going to be getting, the patron only shows that are coming. There's a debate show I'm working on. That will star the patrons, the two patrons going at each other, and I am the judge. And you know, Sean Barreto and I were kicking this around. It's a really cool idea. I picked the topic, and the two of you volunteer to be part of to argue the topic, but you don't know which side you're arguing of the topic until right before the battle starts. So it allows for a bit of a fun improvisation and also not knowing where the battle is going to go or the debate is going to go. So a lot of fun could be had there. And of course, Criterion Corner is coming very soon as well. And a couple other shows that I'm kicking around to do with you all. Of course, there will be watch-alongs as well. And I'll probably start doing watch-alongs next week, to be honest with you. I really want to. I mean, there have been movies I watched this week. I was like, oh, I should just record a commentary for this. So those will be available for patron only as well. There was one more thing. I can't remember what it was. There was one more show that I've been kicking around that I really am excited to do as well. So you'll see. The series, the kind of like the teaching series. So I'm going to start doing Western. So I'm going to start covering one Western a month and talking about it. So like Criterion Corner, it'll be like Criterion Corner, but it'll be four Westerns. So I will assign a Western at the beginning of the month. And at the end of the month, we'll talk about it. With Criterion Corner, I will assign a movie the week before, and then we'll talk about it on Criterion Corner. So all those things are coming. I definitely want to draw. I want to do the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday schedule, which is Wednesday, we'll do the conversations on the Discord. Thursday, we'll do the Blue Jeans on camera. And then Friday is when I'll drop one of the shows for the patrons, or you can watch the show live if we decide to do the show live for the patrons to enjoy. So those are things that are going to be available for you all as well on the Patreon as it grows and gets bigger and bigger. So come get aboard the Outlaw Nation train. Hey, but if you can't do that, at least subscribe to the Outlaw Nation channel. Hope all of you who are watching have subscribed. If you haven't subscribed, please go on down there, hit that subscribe button and come aboard the nation. We crossed 13,000 subscribers last night. Can't thank you all enough. And please give the video a like as well. We're at 137 likes. We'd like to get above 150, maybe 13 likes as I'm wrapping this up. Would be great real quick. I would really appreciate it. So that would be fun as well. Yeah, so you can sign up for the Discord, hang out today here. That's right. That's where it is. That's where the Patreon is, of course. And then I will drop the message in there for people to come to the Discord and enjoy a little conversation with me for an hour later on today at 4 p.m. PT. And also, one last promotion. God, how could I forget? Did I bring the thumbnail up in here? Yes, live today at 2 p.m. PT. That's 2 p.m. PT. Another episode of Strong Style. We want to keep doing the show, but we don't want to just only do WWE stuff. We did NJPW stuff. We've done WCW stuff. We've done TNA stuff. Well, now it's our time to jump into Ring of Honor to look at this fatal ladder match between who is Kevin Steen, who is, of course, Kevin Owens now, and El Generico, which, of course, is Sami Zayn. These two best friends going at each other for the heavyweight title Ring of Honor. So my co-host Aaron Turner and I are going to revisit that match, talk about it, analyze it, break it all down, and talk about its legacy as well. And answer any of your questions live about the world of professional wrestling on the show. So that's 2 p.m. PT today. So come join me live at 2 p.m. PT. It's already up there on the YouTube channel for people to be going in and waiting for you. Sorry. All right. Clearly, I've done enough talking for this set. Love to all of you so much. Don't forget to head on over to the SCN Live and have some fun with Brett and Christian at 10 a.m. PT on the Schmodown Entertainment Network. Hope you enjoyed Schmodown backstage yesterday. Go and watch that as well. A lot of great guests. Emma Fife, Ben Goddard, David B. with his music. And, of course, the Queen of Corruption, Shannon Barney, bowed down. She was on there as well. We had a lot of fun talking about so many things. All right, that's it. I'm done. Love to all of you. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Remember, Wednesday is that time, that hump day, right? You got to go, okay, how have I done so far this week? Okay, what can I do now over the next few days to kind of get me closer to where I need to be? Wednesday is a good day to do a little bit of analysis of that and maybe adjust some plans so you can start making some baby steps towards where you need to be. Shout out, much love, and we'll talk to you next time. Yeah, Rogan is going to explode when Vance was talking about the color of money and validating Wiley's opinion. So, so true. So, so true. All right. Don't forget to join me on Friday for another episode of Mornings with the Outlaw as well. Thank you all so much. We'll talk to you next time on the Outlaw Nation Network here with the Outlaw, John Ruka. Take care.